There we go. Looks like we've got good volume. Okay, came up with the name All In for the class, partly because membership class sounds really boring. And I wanted to cover more than just membership. I wanted to kind of go back and think about how Valley Grace fits in. There she is, fits into the big picture. And so I've organized it around four major topics. And that will cover the 4 weeks that we're going to meet. Today I want to look at what I personally think is the most important thing, and that is, what do we teach? A very close second, which is what we'll look at next week, is what's our mission and why are we here? The reason I didn't put that first is David Koresh had a great mission. He had horrible theology. Yeah, I mean, but he knew what his mission was, and he was set out to accomplish it, and so to say that a church has a great mission or a mission program or any of those kinds of things really is tempered by, are they teaching what's correct, though? Okay, they could be going to all the world as other religious groups are, but not spreading truth. So we'll look at mission. What are we to accomplish? The third is being in a multi-staff church. In a church that, by constitution, is congregationally governed, but then we still have a church council. How does that work? But then also, if, for instance, if someone's in the hospital and Pastor Dan doesn't go to see this person, do we get mad at Pastor Dan? No. That's specifically part of Ray's job description. So if you want to find out about a particular ministry, who do you go see? So that's what we want to look at the third week, is how do all this fit together? Then the fourth week, I want to spend a little bit of time, how do we all fit in? We'll be talking about that along the way as we go, but then how do you personally fit into what's happening here? Okay? So let me start with what we believe. If you were to talk to a friend who knew nothing about Brethren churches or the Grace Brethren Church or Valley Grace Brethren Church, and that friend were to say, "Hey, Peggy, where do you go to church?" "Oh, I go to Valley Grace." What's Grace Brethren? How would we describe what either Valley Grace is or a Grace Brethren Church? And this is the audience participation part. So how do you you have a friend, wants to know, how do you describe who we are, what we believe, what would you tell them?
One of my key verses for that is...
Let's speak up nicely.
Ephesians 2:8-10, saved by grace, not their works. I think that's the crux of it, that Jesus was buried and raised again. That's with the...
Okay, a Baptist would believe the same thing.
Right.
So what makes us brethren? Okay. That's definitely one of the things that are considered a distinctive of Grace Brethren. Okay. We baptize a little differently. What else? How would you describe brethren?
We eat.
Yeah,
that's Baptist too.
Yeah, that's lots of groups.
I mean, I can go the research route. I looked at the website and followed what. So I think what Brethren is we're not just one church. Brethren, there's other churches in the community that are region, I guess. And that, does that make the Brethren part?
Okay.
As far as the Valley Grace and what they believe is the death, burial, resurrection, and he will return. And then... what the big distinction on the website was the three-part communion.
Okay.
But I don't know where all that fits in into the Brethren, Valley Grace Brethren.
Okay.
What distinguishes?
Pre-trib.
Okay. We are. Is that mandatory for the Grace Brethren churches?
Well, it's a fellowship. It's not necessarily a denomination.
Okay, and we'll talk about what that means. Okay, so Ray, how do you describe? There's a standard answer that I use that's terrible, but...
We talk about the difference between the Grace Brethren and the Baptists, okay. I spent 3 years at Thomas Road Baptist Church, Lynchburg Baptist College. The two biggest, yes, are both of our denominations, if you want to call it that, believe in Christ, believe that, you know, he's the way for salvation. The biggest two differences are our communion, our threefold communion service, because even in the Baptist church, they have the little cups and everything that, and threefold communion and our baptism. We have trine immersion. If you
okay.
Then you know, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's baptized forward. I remember at Thomas Road Baptist Church, every somebody who came forward on Sunday morning would get baptized Sunday night. And it was always backwards. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the way they baptize.
Okay. So often, if I only have a minute, I'll say, we're essentially like a Baptist, except for a couple things.
Right.
Okay. Because most people at least do know what a Baptist is. So let's back up a little bit. And partly, I'm going to give you this document in a minute, because as a fellowship of churches, we'll even talk about what fellowship means, we have recently undergone a change in some of our core documents. So what you had probably seen is our statement of faith, which is still a valid document in our fellowship, but we have, over multiple years, recently created what's called a commitment to common identity, and we'll explain that in a second. But let me take one step further than that. Let's talk about what a fellowship is, where we fit into the grand scheme of things. Let me take it from the largest group down to the smallest group, okay? Valley Church, actually, let me reverse that. Let me take it with the smallest group and go up to the largest. Valley Grace Church is a part of a district. We're called the Mid-Atlantic District. There's about 10 churches in our district. We go as far north as Chambersburg. St. James, technically, we still have a presence there. We go as far south as Winchester. So there's 4 Grace Brethren churches in Hagerstown. There's one in Martinsburg, 2 in Winchester, Greencastle, Waynesboro, Chambersburg. So we're part of a district of churches. Okay.
Hey, come on in.
Just starting to explain, and actually, this may be some new stuff since you guys are coming from, in a sense, outside the fellowship. So we're part of a district, okay? We actually are a rarity in that we're part of a very active district. So our pastors meet essentially about 9 times a year. We meet September through May once a month. That's very unusual within the country, but we have churches that are close enough. Some districts, we talked about districts. Some districts, closest churches are 3 or 4 hours apart. It's a little hard to get together very often. So, on the smallest level, we're part of a district, Mid-Atlantic District. you mentioned region, sort of a different dividing. Oh, and one of the other things, we have an active district youth program. We're working on ladies' things and trying to coordinate and help with men's things, also with the churches. But there's cooperation among these 10 churches. Then you mentioned a region. As far as representation on a group called the Fellowship Council, we'll get back to that in a minute too. Everything sort of builds spiderweb kind of thing here. The country is divided into 3 regions. Okay, we're sort of on the eastern region there, obviously. And the only purpose for a region is to select representatives to a group called the Fellowship Council. I happen to be on the Fellowship Council. Think of it more as a steering committee for the fellowship. here's Ben rolling in. So a steering committee for the fellowship. We have no authority. We talk about, we spent a lot of time talking about this document that you'll get. We spend a lot of time, what can we do to motivate our churches? So we meet twice a year. We meet at the end of January, early February. So I'll fly out Wednesday, the end of January, for 3 days out in California. So it'll be nice and warm again in Southern California. And then we meet right before our adult conference in July. That region then is a part of what has traditionally been called the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches. Okay, we have recently gone through, if you're familiar with a DBA doing business as, you can have an official name, but then you can kind of call yourself something else. So the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches is a North American group of churches. Okay. That recently, the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches, that's officially still our name, but it is, we're now, you'll see in literature, you'll see in everything else, Charis Fellowship. Charis is the Greek word for grace. And so you've changed that. It wasn't an issue so much for us here, but especially in other areas of the country and in other countries, the word brethren carries a lot of very negative connotations. Or it carries, I have no idea who you are. And so for that reason, they decided to change it to Charis Fellowship. We can go into that more if you want to, but I don't know. There's value in that. So if you hear FGBC, Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches, that's the North American group of churches made up of districts and regions now doing business as Charis Fellowship. That is just one fellowship in the global movement of Grace Brethren. So South America has their own fellowship. They're not responsible to us. They're not responsible to anybody except them. So Africa has a fellowship, and Europe has a fellowship. And so there's also various fellowships, groups of churches who have decided to cooperate and to work together. Under the broadest umbrella called the Grace Brethren Churches, or Charis Fellowship. Yeah.
Maybe you'll cover this later, but if you were to decide to go into like missionary work, mm-hmm. and you say, I go to Africa or whatever, would I then fall under them?
That's a good question. Let me give you a two-part answer. You're sending church would still have you connected back to the North America if you go with our Encompass World Partners, which is our foreign missions arm. That's still a North American entity that works in lots of other countries. As you're in the other country, you would be serving under their kind of fellowship as well. The nice thing is, we all believe the same thing. And that was a real work to be able to say, okay, here's this document that you get has been approved by all of the fellowships in the world that are officially connected with Grace Brethren. Okay, so they would believe, they would teach exactly the same thing. Okay, so that's the global. So we start as a church, part of a district, regions just for representation on Fellowship Council, part of the North American group called the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches, or Charis Fellowship, and a part of the national. So, what does that group believe, and how do we then answer the question, who are we? After many years, many being about 3 or 4 very intensive years of research and study and Bible study and focus retreats and lots of different things, what they wanted to do is to come up with a new document, because the existing statement of faith, even though it says in its preamble that it's to be reviewed, had not been reviewed in decades and decades. Okay, and it was also very theological, which obviously a statement of faith should be, but it didn't give anybody an idea of kind of who we are besides what do we teach. And so what they wanted to do is to come up with a document to answer that question. If someone came up and asked you, and this is where you guys missed the opening question, if a friend came up and said, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to Valley Grace Brethren. Grace Brethren, never heard of them. Tell me what Grace Brethren are. What would you say? Okay, and we came up with a few answers, and a standard answer that at times I still use, even with all this, is we're sort of like Baptists, but we do a few things differently. because most people know Baptists. It kind of works. But at least that will put us in the realm of, okay, we're not Mormon, we're not Jehovah's Witness, because most people at least have a general idea of that Baptists follow the scripture and, you know, so.
Is Grace Brotherhood the same as Church of the Brotherhood?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another good question. I don't have the family tree. We've split out. Some groups are completely independent, but they still call themselves Brethren. We are in the family history part of like Ashland Brethren, like Ashland College. Years ago, we were called German Baptists. We've been called Dunkard Brethren. It originated in Schwarzenau, Germany. I can give you a whole history of that. I think there's a link on our website with that. The whole history and Alexander Mack coming to the States. And there was some Puritanism involved in that. But their desire is to free religious persecution and to go back to, okay, what does the New Testament say a church should be? That was their goal. So yeah, there are some connections with some of the others. You used to have to go up the tree a ways. One time we were called Progressive Brethren because we wanted to have Sunday school and we wanted to use musical instruments. So unfortunately, churches, as you know, could split over all kinds of things, so that caused a split, a three-way split in the fellowship. I don't remember dates well. 1800, 16, 17.
I think we split from
the Ashland group.
In 1937.
So it's back a ways.
The Grace Brethren split away because the other part of we were starting to do missionary work and they didn't agree to it or something like that.
Yeah, so all kinds of reasons that we've...
Heaven forbid you really want to spread the
gospel. Yeah, really. So, this document was created to help us understand where do we fit into the broad evangelical world, okay? And also to give us an idea then who can we cooperate with and work together? Because we as a church over the last few years have worked together, I think, very well with other good churches in town. Okay, so this is divided into three levels. I'll explain a fourth level that actually in a couple weeks we'll start to work on. Okay, so the center. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, is revealed in the Bible, the written Word of God. Oh, you are missing a whole other set of... No, you have it at the back. Lots of endnotes. Okay, we're not going to look through those today, but... Okay, as revealed in the Bible, the written Word of God is the only Savior and Lord. He's the center of our shared experience of true biblical unity. Essentially, if you can't believe that, we don't have really any basis of fellowship with you. We might cooperate, you know, to hand food to the homeless. But beyond that, if you can't agree to that, you know, if you don't think He's the Word of God, if you don't believe in the written Word of God, you don't believe He's the only Savior, then, I mean, it's just that has to be at the core of what we believe, okay? So if someone say, okay, so our first answer is this, okay. We are focused on Jesus Christ as revealed in the Scriptures, which will remove us from Jehovah's Witness, from Mormonism, from all those others, because their Jesus is not as He's revealed in the Scriptures. Okay, well then tell me more. Okay, we also fit into a large group that's traditionally called evangelical. So here's the things that fit in with evangelicalism. Yeah, we can go into detail on any of these you want to, but wasn't planning to. So there is, yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Do you have a definition for that? Like
definition for
evangelical?
It's just a term that describes people that believe a certain way. Yeah, so don't confuse it with evangelistic, because some evangelical people are not very evangelistic. They don't really care that much about reaching the lost. And you have other people incredibly evangelistic, but they're not evangelical because they don't believe what we believe. Yeah, it's just a term to kind of say, here's a group that all believe about the same way. Yeah. So God, and you can look down through these, but... there is only one God, okay? Connected back to the Old Testament, He is the God of the Old Testament, same one, okay? Existing eternally in three persons, never less, never more. so that Jesus didn't cease to become God when he was here. That's essentially what that statement. He was as fully God when he was 2 weeks old, you know, the day he was born, the day he was conceived. Okay, he was as fully God as he is now. Okay, so that's the idea there. Because there are various theologies that will say, and the key one, the main one would be, he took on his godness at his baptism. No, ridiculous. Okay?
I have a question along those lines.
Sure.
I had this conversation with Pastor Dan, and it basically boiled down to how wrong can you be concerning...
Yep.
Christ. It came down to you had to know who Christ was to be saved. Now, yep. How wrong can you be about theology and still be saved? And, okay... Because you tell us, well, go find yourself a church that teaches the Bible. Well, no church is going to admit to not teaching the
right.
Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just like, you're very seldom ever going to find Christians who will admit to not believing in evangelism.
Right.
So nobody's going to say, well, we like to teach paganism and, you know, sacrilege.
Right.
You know, so, okay, how wrong can you be as far as, do you believe you can still be a Christian and not believe in the triune God? You know, I believe there's only one God, and he's only one God. He's not three gods. It's like, well, okay, well, in that statement, you just made a statement about Christ and the Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God, you know, okay, I believe Jesus is the only Savior, but I mean, I guess along with believing one true God, the triune God, yeah, how...
Yep.
Where do you draw that line as far as, okay,
yeah,
you're a Christian here, you cross this line, you're not a Christian.
Yeah, good question. Here's my disclaimer. Ultimately, the Lord knows. So that's sort of my disclaimer. Amen. You know, so ultimately the Lord knows. I think there's a difference between confusion and chosen error.
Right.
I think true believers can be confused. Because I would say that when I trusted Christ, I was 12, that, yeah, I absolutely, truly, but I didn't know about the Holy Spirit being God.
Right. Amen.
It just hadn't crossed my radar at that time, but I feel that I was truly a believer, but I hadn't chosen to believe otherwise.
Okay, let me stretch that out instead of a person, because very good point. When you get saved, you don't know all the doctrine. So to say, well, you don't know about this, and you're not saying, okay, as a denomination or as a fellowship of churches, let's make that the line.
Yep.
As a denomination, we would consider that's not really a Christian denomination.
Correct.
Because they don't believe in
yep.
X.
I would.
So within these first three here, because there are denominations that are Christian
yep.
who do not believe in the Trinity.
Yep. And I would say they don't fall into this evangelical world then. Yeah. Yeah, as we all know, the scripture is very black and white on lots of things. A few things it's like, man, I wish you'd have given us more to be able to nail a few of these details down. But those are some I think are just black and white. And to, especially because a denomination then, that would have been a thought through response to a given doctrine. Yeah. Yeah, I think that would not then be a Christian denomination. So Christ, fully God, you can read through those, okay. We include the virgin birth, we do believe that, or virgin conception. absolutely believe that. Never sinned, substitutionary, resurrected body, ascended in heaven, and passages to support all those. And that, again, that would completely separate us from the Jehovah's Witnesses, who will not agree that he is God. They'll agree he's Son of God. And they're tricky if you end up getting a conversation with them, because they'll agree to lots of what you want to say until you specifically ask them, is Jesus God?
And that's what they have a friend at work that's doing.
Yeah. Yep. And they never... Yeah. As a young believer, that same thing, Jehovah's Witness lady, she knew a lot more. I got majorly confused. I mean, to shake in my faith until I actually had to go back to scriptures and gotten some good Bible studies. Because, yeah, they, some of it, if that person knows what she's doing, there's a consistency that sounds really good. But on this point, I would say yes, that if that's a chosen belief, that, yeah, she... It's harsh to say, but she can't be a Christian if you absolutely don't believe that Jesus is God, because then you have a different Jesus. Galatians talks about a different Jesus. If anyone preaches you a different Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, may he be accursed. But that's hard in our culture to look at somebody and say, I'm sorry, I don't think you're a Christian. Because, yeah. And then we could rabbit trail on that like crazy. But yeah, so this is a very key doctrine, is who is Jesus?
Do you claim to be Christian?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because the word itself, Christ.
Oh, they would say they're a Christ follower. Okay. They just define Christ differently.
Well, they define salvation differently.
Oh yeah.
Because they said there's going to be 144,000.
Yeah,
there's that whole piece there. And but yeah, they would use lots of our terms. Yeah, he is the Lord, he is the Savior. They would agree to absolutely all of that.
Well, years ago I had Jehovah's Witness, two ladies came to my front door. I was still in seminary, at Antietam Bible Seminary. And I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and they came in and talked about it, and I says, well, you people, you're not really Christians because you don't believe Jesus is God. Well, what does it say? She says in the first chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. It doesn't say the Word was the God. She said it was the Word was a God.
So, well, now you have all kinds of other problems, because now you're...
Well, then I pulled my
polytheistic.
My Greek New Testament down, and where does it say that? And she couldn't... Well, it says in the Greek, Atheos hein halagos, and literally, and the Word was, God was the God was the Word. The is all there. And they just kind of shook their head and left.
Yep. So let me move through some of these. So the Holy Spirit, because again, you can read this. He's not...
May the Force be with you.
Yeah. The Bible, this again will separate us from some. There are 66. We recognize the Apocrypha as interesting books, not part of the canon. We could go into lots of that. But also with, and I think just about as important, inspiration deals with words. Preservation deals with the fact that we still have what God sent. Okay? Because... through Facebook again, Answers in Genesis, there's lots of different people responding, and one of the latest couple comments was, how can you trust a book that's that old, been rewritten so many different times? Well, connect inspiration that God gave us, the exact words, down to whether it's plural or singular or words missing or whatever, every word, Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 20, or to Revelation 22:21. Which in the sword drill, I had them look up Wednesday, Revelation 22:22. And Caleb goes, it's not in my Bible. He wouldn't be quiet though. I'm trying to get the others to go, I can't find it, because some I'm sure were going to stand up. Like, okay. Anyway. Humanity, man and woman in his image. We're still bearers of that image, but sin. So... new birth necessary. Salvation, complete and eternal. Complete, the idea there is you don't have to, you kind of get saved, but it's questionable and then you could lose it. No, it's complete, it's eternal. That was a real struggle for me because I was raised in Methodist Church. Methodist Church is, you can get saved, but man, you blow it. You're not saved again. Then you got to get resaved again, and then you just hope that you're in the saved condition when you die and not in the you just blew it condition. Yeah, it was a terrible way to live, but yeah, until I read through 1 John, and you know, he who has the Son has life. He does not have the Son of God. Well, I have the Son, I mean, I blew it, but I have Christ. The church, there is one true church. It's the body of Christ, it's the house of God, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, no matter what denomination or fellowship you're with, if you absolutely know Christ, you're part of the church. Christian life, saved by faith alone. And I like that this was added. The faith that saves is expected to produce obedience and good works. Just read through the book of James. There's no way that a mature believer can say, this is what I believe, but it doesn't have to impact how I live. There's just no way that a maturing believer can say that.
It's like being in a loving relationship. You can't just not do anything.
Yeah.
You're inspired to do something if you love someone.
Yeah. but the whole... And I've used it at times in other contexts. Easier to say I'm sorry than get permission, kind of a thing. But that's not really, I'll sin because God's going to forgive me anyway. That's a terrible attitude. But the idea here is, as James says, true faith will produce good works. Now, King David did some pretty stupid things. I think he was still a believer, still saved, in, to use a New Testament kind of word with an Old Testament person. But obviously he did really dumb things. Christians can do dumb things, including, I don't want to spend much time on this, Christians can commit suicide. I spent a whole bunch of time with the teens here a few years ago talking about that, because it is still in almost epidemic proportions in some areas. So I truly believe a believer can commit suicide. That's not the unforgivable sin. So believers can do really stupid things. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yep. Got there a little shorter than I think they were intended to, but if a person is a believer, nothing could change the fact that at death that person will go to heaven. Yeah. And if we could hit that another time, and maybe the fourth week there's some extra time, but yeah, that's a good study. But because I've known people who I would say, and obviously only the Lord knows the heart, but every indication is that person truly knew Christ, just got to a place of despair, could not see any hope. But I don't think that negates the fact that person did truly know Christ. Which goes back to the salvation. If salvation is eternal, which is what my cousin led me, the Lord kept saying, okay, you have eternal life. How long is eternal? Not until you've sinned the next time. It's eternal. And if our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, then suicide is a sin. I absolutely believe it to be a sin, but that sin's already been forgiven if all of our sins, past, present, future. So, yeah, that I think is pretty easy to defend from the scriptures, and we can look at that.
Yeah, I'd like to touch on that, because I always thought your life was like a gift from God.
It is. Yeah. No. Let's move on though, because I just thought that's a good topic. But
there's a wonderful verse that says in Romans that God holds us in His hand, and nothing in our creation can remove us from that.
Yeah.
And we're part of creation, so we can't even remove ourselves.
Yeah. So we can crawl out. I don't think so.
No. We're part of that all creation, so nothing can take us out of His hand.
That doesn't mean you go out and kill yourself.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no. But with the Christians, like Doug said, I had someone this week ask me, can Christians believe in abortion? And I said, yes, they can, but not if they're walking with Christ, they can. But a lot of Christians, I mean, look at when they date, Christians mess up. That doesn't mean they're not saved anymore.
Right. Yep.
Christians mess up when they're driving a lot. I mean, that doesn't mean they're not saved anymore.
It would be the same way. What you said about a Christian can be confused. You know?
Yeah. And we are confused on some things.
Yeah. So Christian life, yep. Indwelling Holy Spirit, good question. I know you responded to the thing. Good question from one of our church gals that confused indwelling with filling of the Spirit. And yeah, you'd responded to that one as well. It was a great question because, yeah, there's lots of terms. There's sealing, there's filling, there's indwelling, there's lots of bad teaching
lots
for that.
Of really bad doctrine.
So, that's Christian life. Angels, Satan, and demon. We don't exactly follow the Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Those who aren't old enough have no idea what I just said. but basic things there. Last statement is key, though. Jesus Christ has overcome Satan, so at the final judgment, doom of Satan's demons are certain. Future life, it is conscious. It is bodily resurrection. We do get new bodies. We don't just float around as ghosts or spirits. yeah. So, and there is judgment. There's a judgment for believers, the Bema Seat judgment. There's a judgment for unbelievers, the White Throne judgment. Okay, so that's a basic, okay. So now you're part of this group, Christians, because Jesus is the focus. You're part of this group called evangelicals. Okay, but you still haven't told me, I mean, I understand that, but so what makes you brethren? So the third group is our charis identity. So as a part of this global movement of Grace Brethren churches, okay, part of the charis fellowship, what do we believe? So now we're narrowing it down from the biggest group now to more One Grace Brethren. Often we call them the distinctives. Okay, so additional commitments to biblical truth. And this, I'm glad this is first, because this really does set aside brethren from many other groups. Our motto is the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. But here's the way we look at it. What is the intent of the writer using grammatical, historical, and contextual principles of interpretation? That is so key. What did the author intend to be saying? Okay, so when you get to certain books like the Song of Solomon, is not talking about Jesus and the church.
Thank you.
Yeah. Song of Solomon is about Solomon falling in love with a woman, and then they have a spat and some other stuff. Are there some principles we can learn? Yes. But the original intent of the author, Solomon, whoever was scribing for him, was not thinking, oh, the church and Jesus and
that sort of people trying to make that analogy, and it's painful.
Oh, it is. It's, yeah, hurts you right there.
Just
so, and that's part of our argument. And we'll touch on it. Here's my notes on baptism and communion. We're not going to cover those today. I have them if you want to see them. I'll give you a couple things in like a minute. So we'll finish all this real quickly. That is really key. Now, a Baptist church, I think, would say the same thing. So I'm not putting down Baptists or saying we're the only one who believe that. But that is really a heart, and part of the heart of our commitment to threefold communion. No, part of our commitment to trine immersion is understanding the grammar of the end of Matthew. Okay, so that's key. We still want to be studying God's word. So this is built in. It has to be reviewed to see, have we come to new understanding? Because over the decades and over the centuries, believers have come to better understanding on things. So, saving grace, Holy Spirit's baptizing, sealing, and dwelling occurs simultaneously with regeneration. That sets us aside from the charismatic church, who then will say the baptism of the Spirit is a secondary action. And frankly, you're not a very good Christian if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit and spoken in tongues. And we're saying, no, forget all that. All that happens. And then ordinances, baptism and communion. And then we encourage a practice of additional biblical symbolic actions, anointing with oil, prayer for the sick. We do that. So you've been involved in those. I've been involved in many of those. So we do as a church offer anointing with oil, laying on hands. Pastors will come and pray. So yeah, that's a part of what we do. We don't put it on the realm of baptism and communion. And then just a statement about the church age now, which if you read it, it is definitely premillennial. It's a little less strong on pre-trib, but it's definitely premillennial. Okay? And then a thing that goes around our fellowship, and with that we'll kind of end here, and that is, as a fellowship, we're committed to biblical truth, which is what we've just been talking about. biblical relationships, and so you have kind of on that second page, a summary or commitment to biblical relationships. I see that I didn't delete the extra 89 there. No big deal. And then a commitment to biblical mission. So one of the things that we really strive is to, what do we teach? How do we relate to each other? And what are we doing? Okay. So what's a brethren church? We're a Christian church because we believe Jesus is the focus. We fall into a subgroup called an evangelical church because we believe these kinds of things. But the Charis Fellowship also believes these to be important as well. And so we have that third group there. A fourth group, which you don't have because we haven't approved any of them, that is within North America. What are some things that we think are true? We believe to be true, but they're really only issues in North America. Let me give you an example of one we won't be working on. We don't really plan it in our North America document to put something in about witch doctors. Are there some potentially in the States? Maybe, but the Africa Fellowship needs to put a statement in about witch doctors. Okay? But in Africa, I think, they're not going to put in a statement about abortion. It is absolutely a non-issue. So they're not going to click, but we're going to make a statement about abortion. So there's some things that a particular region, particular fellowship, really needs to say, this is what we believe, that other groups might not see as important. They would certainly agree, well, yeah, abortion's wrong. Nobody here does it. Everybody knows it's wrong. But yet, you believe in ancestor worship, or people in your country do, you need to address that so your people know that's what the Bible teaches there. We're not going to deal with that. So the fourth group, we've got three of them we're working on at the Fellowship Council meeting. So there's committees writing those up. They go to the Fellowship Council, then they go to the National Fellowship to vote on them, and then they become part of the fourth group, which would say, here's North American beliefs that we have. Okay. So that's how we're structured as a fellowship and where we fit into that. And that's what we as a church teach. Questions? We're already a little over, but I expected that to happen.
Well, you see, we don't believe in witch doctors, but the military does have Wiccan chaplains.
So. Yep. Yep.
I would encourage anybody who's new to the faith, or not necessarily new to the faith, but maybe wanting to have a more firm understanding of doctrine, make sure you define your terms, have a clear definition, and realize that the person you're talking to may be using all of the same terminology as you, but then you realize you're not having the same conversation, especially Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Uses all of the same terminology we do, and they have, almost without exception, a completely different definition. So if you talk about the sacraments, completely different meanings. You know, you may find out that salvation, you know, Jesus is the Son of God, but actually that's kind of a byline because Mary is the one you really need to get to. You just, you know your terms and really be paying attention when you're talking to somebody of another faith that you may not be having the conversation you think you are. You know, make sure you know what it is that you're discussing.
Yeah. Now, let me just, while we're still on tape, let me make a comment. The number three section, pretty much in my mind, it's tough to call yourself a believer if you don't believe in the first two. I mean, if you just don't believe in one true God, you don't believe in Jesus the way we do, or the Holy Spirit, or the Bible, it's tough. Now, some of those, can you not understand that the Bible has only 66? Yeah, but some of those are so key. Number three has literally nothing to do with salvation. Okay? So, you can certainly not believe in trine immersion. You can certainly not believe in threefold communion. You cannot believe in that particular hermeneutical approach to the Scripture and be completely saved. So, yeah, what we are not saying at all is that you have to be brethren to be saved. Okay. I know none of you thought that, but I just want to put it officially on the record. So did you hear that? So those are not salvation issues whatsoever. Very godly, learned people don't agree on especially those couple things. I'm not questioning their faith. I'm not questioning anything, but we understand, we've taken our hermeneutic, our approach to scriptures, and we've come to different conclusions. That's all I'm saying with that. Okay? Good enough. Let me figure out how do I hit the stop button on that. Stop.